This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Bennett Woods, 97.3, The Fan. What a fun weekend it was up in Los Angeles. We are Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Listen, you know, season's not over. Let's get our heads right as best we can on a Monday. I will explain what's going on in a moment after I introduce the program here. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, all things considered. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, how are you, buddy?
Not as friendly as usual, and I object to your use of the word happy Monday morning, because there's nothing really that happy about this Monday morning. That was a rough weekend all around.
No joy in your life, so to speak, today.
So I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm wearing my SDFC hat. Everything was great.
Anders Dreyer is truly, truly the star of the city. So you may, if you're listening, it may sound a little different. If you're watching on the YouTube feed, it certainly looks a little different. I, and along with my family, we are in an underground bunker.
You're gone again. Where are you? Yeah, Bora Bora? A little week in Copenhagen? What's going on here?
We had to evacuate our home because the billion-dollar Dodgers swept us and have a commanding two-game lead in the West in late August. And they came for me with torches and pitchforks, so we had to evacuate. I'm in an underground bunker. Everyone's safe. We're okay. It's going to be okay. But we're gonna figure it out. We'll wait till things calm down and get out. No, I'm actually I am gone again, and I am in Hideaway Lake, Texas, Lindale, Texas, as it were. And it's kind of a convoluted story, I guess, but not really when you break it down. My pops, as you guys know, tier one Gary. Had a pretty major surgery, had prostate removal surgery for prostate cancer. And he has been a little bit down. You know, he's been a little bit down. My mom's been a little overwhelmed. And he is just, you know, he's not recovering as quickly as he thought he would. So I had the idea last week. I said, let me come out, you know, and just help. And I think based on the success of the plan in Kauai, was able to broadcast and do every show. Honestly, like, the crap son in me took over. I went, wait a minute, buddy. You can go to Philly to party with your friends. You can go to Manchester to party with Oasis. You can go to Kauai to party with your family for 10 days. You can't go see your parents. You can't go help out. And I texted my mom on Tuesday of last week and said, I'm coming out. Let's surprise him. And boy, was he surprised yesterday. So I traveled most of the day yesterday. I missed the game almost entirely. So it didn't sound like I missed a whole lot. But I got here and I'm here. I'm going to be here all week hanging out, just trying to help out and hang out with my dad, man. You know, just to be clear, I didn't come out to like say my goodbyes or anything. He's okay. He's moving around. He did show me his scar and his stitches this morning, and oh my God, you guys, it looked like
that.
No
sounds
kidding.
Like an uncomfortable moment. You said prostate cancer, prostate removal.
Yeah,
where's the scar?
So it goes all the way up here.
Oh, okay.
It goes all the way up, and
wow.
And it looks like, dude, it looks like he got hit in the stomach with a cannonball. It's yellow and blue, and he's in a lot of pain. They had, you know, there's some complications and things like that. So, man, I just thought, you know, what am I doing? I need to go out there and be with my family, try to help out where I can. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm here. And, you know, once I got out here, I started thinking about it. I went, I don't know, man. Like, if you're recovering from surgery, do you want some a-hole loudmouth, like, in your office taking over, setting up that, like, he's probably just like, I just really wanted to relax in peace and quiet. And now I'm here, you know, the tornado comes in. And so, yeah, man, I'm here just kind of helping out, doing whatever I can.
Well, you're a good son, and I'm glad you went out. And best wishes to Gary, of course, from all of us. Send our love. We appreciate it. Unfortunately, I also missed a lot of the game yesterday as we had a medical health scare in our family. I spent most of the day at the hospital with my son. He's doing better this morning, and I'm going to probably be leaving the show about 8:30 today to go speak with his doctors. If everything goes well, hoping he gets out of the hospital today, but he got extremely sick yesterday. I won't go into a ton of details just for his privacy, but I was, spent about 12, 13 hours in the hospital yesterday, unfortunately, and hopefully everything's going to be all right today. So apparently we both missed a lot of the game yesterday that obviously turned pretty disappointing, but we did see the first two games of the series, and was together with all the Tier 1s on Saturday for the worst of the three, and I want to thank everybody who came out to Moneyline Sports HQ in Encinitas. What a great turnout. It was so unbelievable to see how many Tier 1s came up to our neck of the woods to watch that game on Saturday night. What a great spot it was, and I mean, Woods, I thought it was just incredible to see the turnout that we had.
I was blown away. I really was. And I wanted to apologize for leaving right when it ended because I had a 4 a.m. Uber, man. And, I wanted to be able to kiss my kids and put them down before I'm not going to see them for a week. I'm not coming back till Friday night. And so, you know, at 8 o'clock on the nose, man, I just split to the car, because, you know, I had to pack and get out of there. But the people that were there, you guys were outstanding, incredible. So nice meeting some of you for the first time. So nice seeing some of the regulars that are usually out there. But it was really cool. Obviously, you know, you wanted a better result from the baseball team this weekend. But and I don't want to do this thing where it's like, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, bigger perspective, you know, because it is important to all of us. It's why people tune into this show. It's why we do this show. I mean, I genuinely care a lot about the direction of the team. But I was eerily kind of calm this weekend, you know, just knowing what else is going on, but also knowing it's not over. You know, it's not over. They are a good baseball team.
Not by a long shot. I was kind of stunned to see how much I knew there'd be negativity, but there was so much finality to it. That's what I disagree. The negativity was absolutely, we all felt negative. It was an awful weekend and really, really disappointing, but there was so much finality to it. Like, it was good while it lasted. We tried. There's 40 games left, close to 40 games left. Potters are two games out. It's not even close to over. It was one bad weekend in a long season. I warned you that there was going to be some bad weekends, some bad games still to come this season. You know, you hope it wasn't against the Dodgers, but they got a chance to bounce right back this week and have the Dodgers come to their place. I mean,
it sucked, but like if you took the 30,000 foot view, like the way I looked at it was Friday night. Like, once Michael King was out, it was kind of like, just take your shot, see what happens. And you lost a one-run game to a really good team on the road. I was okay with that one, especially given the fact that Wandy Peralta started it yesterday.
Wandy Peralta, Ramon Laureano, the stars of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yesterday sucked. Seeing Yu Darvish uncharacteristically giving up four runs in the first inning. That sucked. And even tied the game up. And again, came out on the losing end of a one-run game. That's going to happen on the road against a really good team. Saturday, nothing positive to say. No. Absolutely sucked.
Sucked. And you know, listen, you know, KG says it doesn't matter when you crap the bed versus your divisional rival every single time. I mean, you got to remember, man, we handled those guys in the regular season last year really well, and they got us in the playoffs because we stopped hitting. And, I think that
and
all
remember
that
2 years ago, you know, the Dodgers dominated the regular season 14-5. I mean, absolutely dominated. And then the Padres won in the playoffs. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Yeah, it happens. But it's, you know, I was just bummed too. I hated it. I feel like there was a lot of, you know, especially Saturday. Saturday was just a real, real bummer. Just a rollover. Here, you want it? Take it. It's yours. I mean, handing those guys a team like that. And here's the funny part. And, you know, I was telling Paulie this before the show. You know, I mean, Dodger fans going nuts in my mentions, DMs. And you guys got to remember, I am the one that said, if any team can turn on a dime, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like, that is a team that's very good. I've told you guys for months, like, they're a good team. They're playing poorly. That team can turn on a dime. And they did. They absolutely did. We were 100% the get right gang, against them. And I don't know, man. Manny Machado had a really rough, he's had a really rough month. He's got one RBI in the month of August. Like, that's unacceptable. That can't happen. You know, that just can't happen. He's got to be better. Those guys have to perform. And, you know, luckily, he's still got more chances to do so. So, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, but I don't know, man. Like, it definitely sucked. You know, you wanted to scratch out at least one win on the road. You wanted to get at least one win on the road. Yesterday looked to be the case, but yeah, man, you know, it's a real bummer. But yeah, the finality of it all was kind of bothered me too. A lot of people kind of acted brand new yesterday, and there's still a ton of opportunity to go out and continue to roll. Now, you've put yourself behind the eight ball because the Dodgers got the Rockies, you know, and you got the Giants, and, you know, you can't expect them to slip. You know, you got to kind of feel with the Dodgers right now, like they're playing really, really well. Their stars are starring. They're hitting home runs. We didn't. They punish mistakes. We don't, at least in that case. So the freaking starting pitching, you know, was kind of a tough scene, but it is what it is, man. It sucked. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It sucked.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
losing to those guys sucked.
I think the goal this week is to, you know, match whatever the Dodgers do against the Rockies. If they sweep, you got to sweep to keep within two. And then if you can find a way to, you know, win the series, then you had a good week this week. You know, if you let the Dodgers, you know, cane a couple of games and then you lose that series, you'll find yourself five down. And then you probably are out of reach in the division and you're looking at the wild card, which by the way, still, you know, we all would have been happy with the wild card at the start of the season. But, you know, you felt like it's so close. Find a way to go and take that division title. They let you in it this long. Don't let them off the hook now. And that's why this weekend was so frustrating.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked. There's no two way. There's no sugarcoating it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if we out hit them or out slugged them or whatever. You know, there's no spin on it. You know, for whatever reason, when this team plays the Dodgers, obviously it feels like it's bigger, because it is. You had a lead going into this and now you don't. And that's a bummer. Anytime you hand it over, and you did, you handed it over. Poor sloppy play, lack of clutch hitting, poor starting pitching. You know, they rose to the occasion and we kind of wilted to it. So, there's a lot, obviously, you could break down. You know, there were some things that I looked at and said, yeah, that's the right strategy, just the right process. It just didn't work out. And that's okay. I think you stick to the process of being aggressive when you get a lead. Problem was, man, we were scratching and clawing for, you know, a run here or there, especially like yesterday. I watched the condensed game and it was just terrible. Like, it was, you just could not come up with the big one, you know, yesterday.
It was like the second time in what felt like a week, maybe a two-week span, where I just remember like this feeling of watching the whole game start to finish and the Padres scratch and claw and are trying so hard to climb back into it. And then they finally do. And then in one swing of the bat, it's gone from the other team.
Gone.
And you're just like, yeah, home runs are pretty useful, it turns out.
Yeah, nice to have that bullet in the gun when you need it. You know, certainly, and we don't really have it, man. But yeah, the lineup is the biggest thing. And you know, when you win 14-17, I can totally understand going, I'm not really gonna mess with a good thing. Okay, no problem. Now you got swept. Time to move it around. You know, the if you're trying to win a World Series, I think you need to. You can't really worry about feelings. And all we hear from these guys all the time is, you know, these guys are all committed, willing, and want to win a World Series. So that means that guys need to do what they're asked to do. You know, and I think a lineup shift could make this team potentially better. But what happens if you do? You change it up and it doesn't work. You know, it's like, oh my God. So you don't know. You just, there's no real answer other than you got to keep trying until you find the formula. And I think they thought they found the formula there for a while.
Well, again, yeah, I mean, they've still won 14 of their last 20 games. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball if you take a slightly wider view of this month. It was a bad weekend, but if you let this weekend then define who you are the rest of the season, that's the true That's the true worry about this weekend. It's not that you lost three games. You can make those games up. You can play good baseball like you were playing before. You caught up 10 games in a matter of a few weeks because you were playing so well. If you go right back to that, then this is a blip and it's forgotten. If you let this define you going forward and you become that team that everyone, you know, is saying that you are, the team that can't get over the hump, the team that can't beat the Dodgers, that wilts in big situations, then this weekend truly will be the defining moment of the 2025 Padres season. But you don't have to let it be. It could just be just one bad weekend out of many. The Dodgers, did them getting swept by the Angels twice and by the Brewers twice and going 0-12 against those teams, is that the defining moment of their season, or are they going to let this be the defining moment of their season?
Their fans thought it was. I mean, to be completely fair, I see a lot. I follow a lot of Dodger fans. They follow me. They thought that was it. That was it. This is it. For as cocky as they are today, and, you know, they're waving it around this morning, as they should, they thought that that sweep by the Angels was like the total death knell. And what did we do? We let them off the hook. We absolutely let them off the hook.
Fans thought that, but I don't think their players ever thought that. Players
don't
think differently than the fans do.
They do. But I'm telling you, when you come in and you do goofy stuff and you do predictable stuff and you don't go for big innings, when you have a team on the ropes, when you're bunting constantly, when you're making weird bullpen decisions that you haven't made, you know, it gets away from you, and it totally did. It totally, totally did this weekend. So
the Cox stealings on Saturday night, that was
God,
where I'm
Paulie.
Like, I don't know that I've ever seen them do that before. I'm like,
we
why the hell are we doing it now?
We should have won that game. We had Blake Snell, you know, completely on the ropes, and we gave it away. So, yeah, man, it sucks. It does. You hate losing. It feels like it's bigger than one game when you lose a game to those guys, but it's not. At the end of the day, it's just one game. Well, three games. It's one game three times is what it is. But, yeah, I don't know what it is. So hopefully you're able to handle business this week, and you'll get another crack at them again.
Well, we will go through all of the weekend, set the menu for the program coming up on a Monday edition of Ben and Woods. First, let's get a quick check of traffic right now with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. It feels like we haven't heard too many Padres crap-ups lately, but we're going to jump right in with a three in a row.
Three-peat, yeah.
On this Monday morning as we talk about yesterday's game, which taken on its own, Woods, in like a one game. It was actually just one bad inning from Yu Darvish, and the rest of the game, Padres played pretty well. They just could not come up with the big giant blow they could have turned the game on. But, you know, credit to the team for fighting back, and we can talk about what happened yesterday up in Los Angeles. And obviously, you know, the decision to bring Robert Suarez in the eighth inning there, I had no problem with it, by the way, especially because he hadn't been used. Did not work out against Mookie Betts on the, second pitch to Mookie Betts. Turned it around and saw that highlight later. Did not get to see it live, but
it was really fun. It was really
cool. I can imagine that it was pretty much a gut
really
punch
cool.
If you were watching it live after seeing them come all the way back and tie the game at four to just immediately have the Dodgers retake the lead. Yeah, exactly. It kills the mood a little bit, no doubt about that. So we'll go through that. The other two games of the weekend. You know, no one wants to. I don't want to. I don't know how to phrase this. The series
relax,
was
relax, relax, relax. It's okay. Relax.
The
relax.
Series
right.
was right. As this whole season has been. The games have been very close between the Padres and the Dodgers all year long. Dodgers continue to win the close games against the Padres every single time. This year they played
beating,
a close game. The Dodgers have won every single one of them essentially.
Yeah, we win close games against other teams. We just for whatever reason can't get over that hump.
And the Dodgers lose close games against other teams constantly, but against the Padres, they've been finding ways to win those close games.
Now, where's that 2025 bullpen been the last three days? Because I saw it against the Angels several times, and
then they gave it
back to 2024 postseason.
You know,
Dodgers.
I think that's a real thing, though. For whatever reason, the combination of guys the Dodgers have put together in their bullpen, not very good against other teams, but against Padres hitters, they have been outstanding. They keep coming through with just big clutch performances, and that's something you got to be at least concerned about if the Padres and Dodgers are going to meet again, you know, in the postseason later on. So we'll talk all about that. We will have our guests on Monday, Craig Elston, Padres Hot Tub Podcast, our buddy at 7:35, and our Linsider from The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, will join us at 8:35 this morning, and we'll also have some of our regular features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods at 8:20, our Rindle Report as well. Talk a little SDFC at some point, as Woods mentioned, another huge win last night. We have a team in their first season that now has the best record in all of the MLS. The top,
yep,
most points, lead in the race for the Supporters Shield. What a great first season for SDFC, and they kept it going yesterday with their sixth consecutive road win. So we'll get into a little bit of that probably with Craig at some point as well. But when we come
back, go ahead. Are we allowed to have fun at all today, or are we not? Like, can we tell some funny stories?
Yes.
I got some great stuff. I mean, I got some great, great, great stuff.
You have permission to have a little bit of fun and smile, Padres fans. Not just Woods, everybody.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? All right.
Everybody.
Okay, man, just everyone relax.
And by the way, back at home tonight, Padres have been playing well at Petco Park. You got a big week, and there's no off days. It's time to get back going against the San Francisco Giants this evening, and I expect a pretty good crowd and a pretty good atmosphere at Petco Park. It's not a funeral. This is not the dirge for the San Diego Padres. There's a long way still to go in this season.
I could use some funny, personally.
I mean, I've got it. I got loads of it. I mean, I have reams of it. Reams
of fun. You called me yesterday and told me, like, one story. It took 30 seconds, and I was, like, crying. I was in tears laughing.
Oh, dude. It just adds to the legend that is my dad. I'll tell it next, and then we can get into the...
Perfect.
Well, get into the crap of it. It's legendary.
It's like you tell dad stories, but when you're in his presence, it just magnifies 10 times. Oh, my God.
And I got, I mean, coming up at 8, guys, I'll go ahead and do a long tease for you. Coming up at 8, look what Daddy found for you. Daddy found the list.
Oh,
I got
the famous list.
The list.
All right, for a new listener, what? Just the briefest of brief explanations. The list is.
The list is my dad categorizing all the movies that he has or has seen or owns or had. This is a new one. It used to be on yellow. This is on white. And I go, find me the list. And he brought it in. I go, what even is this? He goes, I don't know. But I found it. I got it. It's here. I have scanned it. And we will break it down at 8.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Awesome.
I got all kinds of gold.
I could use a couple of smiles this morning for sure. I think the tier one's good as well. And look, you're all in the chat. We really appreciate you seeing you this morning. We're a family. We're a community. We'll get through this together. It's Ben and Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
All right, but first, let's talk about 7 Mile Casino. I was like on Monday morning reminding everybody that even at 6:25 a.m. on a Monday, if you wanted to play some cards, you can, because 7 Mile Casino is one of San Diego's few true 24/7 options for people coming off the late shift, the overnight, want a couple of hours to wind down before your unusual sleep schedule. 7 Mile Casino is there for you with California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, Pai-Gal, Baccarat, food options, everything you're looking for, Woods.
Well, I mean, they have alcohol there, right?
Because
I could certainly use a few cocktails after that weekend. Yeah, they got everything that you need there. It is a smoke-free environment, though. If slots are something that make you feel better, you're going to have to go somewhere else, okay, because they don't have them there. They do have all the card games that you love. No, and they got friendly dealers as well. Best part, just 7 minutes from downtown.
So easy to get to. No big drive required into the East County. No parking garage to deal with. No, it's awesome. Check it out. It's our place. Make it your 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety. All right, Woods, what do you got for us? Make me smile before we get into the Padres crap up, please.
Well, so obviously, man, you know, when I decided to come out here and surprise my dad, you wanted the surprise to not get out. And I get really nervous because Taylor, he likes to grab Bo's little watch and call everybody in the phone, right? And hey, Gabby, it's Tay-Tay. And they talk. And he had my dad on the phone yesterday. And My dad actually asked him, where's your mom and dad? And he said, well, my mom is in the other room and my dad's working. So he actually was able to keep the surprise. So I made it here. So I get here. I text my mom. I go, I'm in the driveway. She goes, I'm going to come get you. He's upstairs. I walk upstairs ready to surprise him. Well, the guy's in the bathroom because he's got to go to the bathroom like every 10 minutes. So he's in the bathroom. So I'm sitting in there waiting. And he finally walks in and he looks at me and it was like he saw a ghost. I mean, he had no idea I was there and it was really cool. And then so we go downstairs and I go over to the fridge and I grab, you know, the water brand, it's called Core, and they got the big thick tops, like they're big thick bottles and big thick blue tops. So I sit down on the couch and I crack open a Core water. And my mom's next to me, and my dad's across the room. And my mom goes, ooh, where did you get that? I go, what? She goes, that water. I go, I got it from the fridge. And she said,
is that okay?
Oh, did you get it? She goes, did you get it out of the side door? Or did you get it out of, like, the, you know, the main? I go, I don't know. She goes, well, those are your dad's. I go, what? I go, he's got, there's like 400. I'll replace them. I have money. I can go get more Core waters if I need to. She goes, no. He refills those. And I go, what do you mean he refills those? She goes, he'll finish one and then refill it and put the cap back on. I go, are you kidding me? If he puts them in the fridge?
Oh my God.
And she's like, yeah, I go, all right, I'll just go get an Ozarka brand water because those have not been tampered with. So my dude is drinking his water, and then he's filling up all the empty water bottles and putting them back in the fridge.
So he'll buy like one case of water, and that's it for
the last,
you know,
6 years. Six years.
And then
six years.
Drinks one, refills it with tap water, puts it back in the fridge like it's the same thing.
And this is not eco water that they have there. So
no, they don't have it here. So
did you not notice the seal had been broken? Like you keep an eye out for the seal.
You know, I didn't. Well, the seal on a Core water is covered by the big giant cap. So I just opened it up and took it to the dome. And next thing you know, my mom's like, ooh, yeah, no, don't drink those. And I'm like, is there like laxative or something here? Why is she telling me not to drink his special waters, man?
Oh my God. It's crazy. That is peak Gary.
Why not just get a jug to refill then? Why does he have the plastic? But does he like the plasticky taste that it imparts? Or
I don't know. I really, really don't know.
He wants to give the image that he's a bottled water drinker when he's not really a bottled water drinker?
Potentially. But yeah, so, you know.
I'm going to get my man a Brita or something. Like, even a small filter will help.
You know that I completely approve of Gary's
I know,
frugal and economic ways, because I am much the same. But that may be a bridge too far. That's one that I couldn't cross.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, and you know, I didn't have any idea, but I guess, you know, at the end of the day, I shouldn't be surprised at all. But I was dying. I was absolutely dying this weekend. Man, the Dodger fans are in the chat this morning. Thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate it. Every interaction does wonders for us, so we do appreciate it.
Please hit like and subscribe if you're on YouTube in the chat.
Yes, please. Please hit like and subscribe. I did, you know, I might have said it earlier, but I'll say it again because, I mean, my mentions are through the roof. And they have a two-game lead in the division, and it's August 18th. And that, to me, is like, okay, we're okay, right? Like, that gives me a little bit of, they're so excited about a two-game lead. I mean, in reality, that's the team that was supposed to win 115, 116, 100. I saw 120 from ESPN. 120 games they were predicted to win. That's not going to happen. We know that. They're a really good team. They've been a good team. They spent a ton of money. They got all the great players in the offseason. And it is the fact that we're only two out gives me a little bit of happiness. So, hey, take your victory lap. You certainly earned it. I would be taking mine this morning if we had. But we do appreciate you being here.
All right, let's
three game lead with the tiebreaker.
Let's get into, well, I mean, Yeah, it's a two-game lead, but if Padres make up three games, they're not tied. They're ahead, so it's 2.5
They're ahead,
is what you'd call it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our crap up. We'll talk about yesterday's game, get us started on the weekend that was in Chavez Ravine, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
Crap Up,
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Freeman swings at center field. Jackson Merrill back. He will watch. It's going to go well into the right field pavilion for Freddie Freeman. His 15th home run of the year is a three-run shot in the bottom of the first inning. And the Dodgers take an early lead, 3-0. And the 0-2 launch to left field. Mariano back, he returned to watch, and this one going to go in the left field pavilion for Fajes. His 20th, and the Dodgers have hit two home runs against Darvish in the bottom of the first inning. They now lead it 4-0. Fernando out to right center field. He's found the gap, and he's got plenty of speed to get to second. Cronenworth jogging home from third, and the Padres with their second double of the day are on the board. Tatis plates Cronenworth, and it's 4-1. And this time, a fly ball to deep right field. Hernandez is back. He's at the wall. This one gonna go! How about another for Ramon Laureano? His fourth as a Padre. He stays white hot. And a leadoff homer here in the fifth inning to cut it to 4-2. And O'Hearn hits it in the air deep down the right field line. Hernandez over towards the corner. Not going to get there. It's a fair ball. Hops up towards the side wall. Sheets hustling home to score. An RBI double for O'Hearn. And a one-run game here in the sixth. And a pitch to Iglesias is grounded slowly to shortstop. Charged by Betts. He'll throw to first base. That is in time. And the game is tied. Xander comes in to score on the RBI ground out by Jose Iglesias. And the Padres have finally made it all the way back. 4-4 here in the eighth. And Betts sends it in the air to deep left field. Sheets is back at the wall. Gonna go. So after the Padres work all day long to chip away and tie it up, it takes Mookie Betts only three pitches to put the Dodgers back ahead. His 13th home run of the season. And L.A. leads 5-4. Payoff pitch on the way. Manny swings and misses. Strike three. Challenged him with a fastball. And Machado strikes out to end the game as Vesia goes 5-up, 5-down to close this thing out. And the Dodgers sweep the Padres with a 5-4 win here this afternoon. And we will go into the new week with the Padres two games in back of the Dodgers in the National League West.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to show up tomorrow and ready to play baseball. Didn't play as well as we'd like to have, and series didn't go like we wanted to, but we know we're capable of. We'll get ready to play tomorrow. This team is more than in a great place.
Ooh, obviously, the first inning was the story in the game yesterday. Well, I mean, I guess Mookie Betts' home run was also ended up being just as big of a story, but if Yu Darvish doesn't give up two home runs and four runs in the first inning, it's a completely different ball game. And I felt bad. Did you see Yu's? You felt like he was beating himself up after the game in the quotes in the post game story. Woods, he said he got ahead of Freddie Freeman 0-2, and you know, hit the corners on, you know, outside corner, blew it past him with, you know, fastballs both pitches, and he said I should not. That was my mistake. Bad strategy, bad choice to try to go three straight fastballs past Freddie Freeman, and he let that one leak over the middle. I mean, you think 0-2, you've got him right where you want him. You can do anything you want. You've got nine pitches to choose from. Freddie's got to be thinking, you know, what is he going to go here now? It's all, you know, and just the absolute worst decision, worst pitch you could possibly do, and put yourself behind, you know, 3-0 right off the bat after the first two games of those series. It was just a really tough moment, I think, for Yu Darvish and the Padres there.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. And again, you got two guys here trying to explain a game that neither of us got a chance to watch much. I was traveling. You were with your son in the hospital, and it, you know, I saw the last, what it boiled down to, you know, after you come back to tie the game. And yeah, you did feel like, all right, these boys are not going out of there without getting a win. And, you know, you feel terrible for Suarez. What are your thoughts on Suarez pitching there instead of waiting for a lead, Ben? Because I did see about, well, I mean, since we got Mason Miller, I saw essentially Mason Miller needs to be the closer, right? And so with the top of the order coming through there, that's the area where Mason Miller has kind of been deployed, right? The eighth inning setup guy for Robert Suarez, top of the order coming. Why not go to Miller there? I know, you know, I hate the hindsight machine because if Robert Suarez gets through it there, you score, you've got Mason Miller to close out the game. But why did it switch?
Well, I didn't see the rationale, but when I saw it, I thought it made actually sense to me, just following on the app as I was, and I thought, we've already seen Miller in this series. Suarez hasn't pitched at all. So, you know, best case scenario, you put Suarez in, you trust him, whatever inning it is, because he's been really, really good. And then if you can score a bunch in the ninth, you don't even have to use Miller. You can give him the day off. You'd rather not use Miller. Now, it did work out that way where they didn't end up needing to use Miller because there was no bottom of the ninth. But you don't use the same arm twice when you have a fresh arm to go to in that situation because they hadn't used Suarez. They needed to use Suarez, honestly.
Yeah, but he needed
an inning.
Miller,
it had been so long since he had pitched, since early in the week, that, you know, I thought that was the absolute right decision to go with Suarez there.
But, I mean, why, though? Because Miller had only thrown 14 pitches on Friday. He's thrown 14 pitches in the last 5 days, and top of the order coming up. Again, I'm okay
if you had a
with,
lead,
like, whatever.
If you had a lead, I would have said, okay, Miller and then Suarez to close it out. But because you didn't have a lead and you didn't know what was going to happen, I think you wanted to make sure Suarez got into that game. If Miller gave up a run in the eighth and you didn't get to have Suarez pitch at all, then it's another day without Suarez getting a chance to work. I think you wanted to get him into that game, and that was the good spot for him to get into that game.
Yeah, I mean, again, though, it's fine. It's fine. So does that... That doesn't speak anything to you of saying, because again, it's not a save situation for either guy. It's a tie ball game.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, the hindsight machine looking back going, all right, well, we had the top of the order there with our most electric arm who had only thrown, you know, 14 pitches, to that point. Why not give him a shot to get in there? If we do get a lead, then we have our MLB saves leading closer to close it out. Okay, 6-1, half dozen of the other, I guess. But I don't know. It just seemed like a weird kind of switch up of the process. No?
I don't know. I felt like I was expecting Suarez to come in there just based on the usage from earlier in the series. There's no reason to add more bullets onto Mason Miller's arm when you've already used him and you haven't used Suarez in days and days. They should be interchangeable. Look how the Dodgers use their bullpen. You got no idea who's coming in the fifth, who's coming in the ninth. It's complete chaos in that bullpen, but Dave Roberts certainly made it work for him this weekend. I mean, you have no idea who their closer is, and it doesn't really matter. That's the big thing. We've made so much of a big deal about who gets the ninth inning for so many years. It's got to be your closer. You got to have someone who can lock it down in the pressure situations. The Dodgers show you can make it work without having a traditional setup in the bullpen. Go with the arm that makes the most sense. And for me, I thought Suarez made the most sense in the eighth inning just because you hadn't used him all series and you wanted to get him some work. And I mean, it was a high leverage inning and he's been such a good arm for you there. So I did not have a problem at all with Robert Suarez going in there.
I just thought it was odd. I mean, I thought it was odd. I thought it was odd in the game before to try to steal three times. I thought it was odd bunting with a chance for a big inning in the first game. I thought we went out of the way that we had been playing baseball. I thought we really, really maybe overthought it a little bit, and maybe there is some credibility or credence to the fact that, yeah, man, when it's the Dodgers and that L.A. Blue and you're playing in Chavez Ravine and they're the world champs, that maybe you do get a little bit of a tight B-hole a little bit. It certainly looked like it from the top of our order. You know, really, nobody stepped up. Nobody came through. Pretty – you're not going to win a lot of ball games when that happens. You're just not. And I – you know, hopefully, you can get back to, you got to flush it and move on because you got a four game set against the Giants and then you got the Dodgers again. So there's no end in sight. But, you know, the Giants are a team you can beat. Somebody had tweeted, I think it was our buddy Zach tweeted, The record of the Dodgers against playoff contenders right now, we're the only one that they have a winning record against at 8-2. You know, the rest are 2-3, 3-4, whatever. Yeah, there's something different. They seem to be just owning us right now. And, you know, you gotta change that. You gotta figure out a way this weekend at Petco Park to at least take two or three from these guys.
So let's talk about big picture takeaways here. Now, comparing the two teams, I think one area where you can really be concerned the Dodgers have a big advantage is in starting pitching. And with Michael King now on the shelf again and the Dodgers starters getting healthy, we saw, you know, three really good efforts from Dodgers starting pitching. Now, the Padres had some chances, especially against Snell early. You know, they got a couple of runs against Glasnow, but, you know, he's going to strike out a lot of guys. Those are all tough pitchers. Now, the Padres can be good. You know, they can have good starting pitching performances. They didn't get... You'd think they got knocked around. Padres starting pitchers in the series actually only gave up 5 hits in the 3 games. They walked too many guys. They, you know, overall, the Padres walked 12 batters in the series versus 6.
A team like
six.
A Dodger, the Dodgers will capitalize on any mistake.
They will crush
if you give
you.
Them an inch,
they'll
take a mile, and saw it play out in all 3 games.
But again, you know, hey, listen, let me give credit where credit is due. I think, you know, with the top of their order, I'm okay being a little bit careful, you know, with those guys. Like, that's why they constructed their roster the way that they did, because a starting pitcher does not really feel comfortable. What murdered us is the bottom of their order getting us, especially
again.
In game one. Michael Conforto, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, is out there ripping, you know, RBI singles all over the yard. You know, the bottom of the order murdered this team this weekend. So again, I totally understand why you want to be a little bit careful with the top. You know, I will not talk about the umpires today. I will not. I thought they were equally terrible. You know, big situations. They were horrible, but you know, you got to rise above that stuff, man. You got to rise above that stuff if you want to win a World Series. And Padres haven't shown the ability to do that yet.
So starting pitching, the Dodgers definitely, as we knew all season long, if they're healthy, they're going to always have the advantage. Bullpen, Padres bullpen wasn't bad. If you consider Randy Vasquez more of a starter, which I do, than a bullpen arm, bullpen gave up one run each game. And they pitched quite a bit, about, you know, not including Randy Vasquez, they pitched about 12 to 13 innings, I believe, in the three. They gave up 3 runs, mostly just on solo home runs. Teoscar got the one. Obviously, Mookie got the one yesterday. It wasn't – the Padres' bullpen was good, really, for the whole series. You can't expect them to be perfect every single day when you're asking so many innings out of them. You'd usually take 4 or 5 innings, 1 run out of a bullpen every single night. That's considered really good bullpen work by the, you know, by the San Diego Padres. Unfortunately, those runs turned out to be really critical both in the first and third game because they ended up being the difference in the game in both of those contests.
Yeah, no doubt. And we didn't really get the chance. We had a lead in this series for all of 1 inning. And when that happens, it takes away your greatest strength, right? It takes away your greatest strength. You didn't get the chance to deploy your pen like you had to this point this season. So, hey, man, I tweeted it the other day. I will stand by it. I think you play conservative when you're chasing, and I think you play aggressive when you're leading. They didn't lead.
And then
they led for 1 inning, and it was in the second inning of game 1.
And then offensively, you touched on it. You know, both teams actually weren't good with runners in scoring position. Dodgers were, I think, 3 for 13. Padres were 3 for 20 in the series. The Dodgers just made their 3 really count with a 3-run home run yesterday by Freddie Freeman and a couple of other big hits when they needed it. The bottom of the order, you mentioned, you know, the Dodgers do that against the Padres and not against the other teams. But ultimately, you know, the Padres got out-homered 5-2. So the Dodgers took advantage of mistakes. Padres out-doubled the Dodgers 7-0. They out-hit them in the series. It wasn't as lopsided. The numbers aren't as lopsided as you would think in a 3-game sweep. You know, the Padres' offense wasn't, it was just the 3 home runs coming in the right moments for the Dodgers that made the difference in the series. Otherwise, the Padres had the offensive advantage in every other category all series long, just not when they needed them.
Not when they needed it, and you're playing from behind. I mean, it's just, you look up and it's 3-0, and you're like, great, here we go. You know, it's a real kick in the nuts, man. It really is. You played from behind most of the series, and, you know, just funky plays, dropped balls, 3 guys thrown out. Are you kidding me? the no challenge of Manny. Weird stuff. We just got really caught on our heels all weekend, and I hated that. Hated it.
All right, we'll continue the discussion of the Padres, go more into the first couple of games.
We need to talk about Dylan Cease, and we need to talk about Jackson Merrill, who was taken out of the game
yesterday.
That's
both issues certainly going forward for the Padres that they'll need to look at as well. So get to that coming up. Hour number two of Ben and Woods. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.